I've made the assumption that you've clicked play on this audio recording because you are thinking of moving your final salary pension, also called a defined benefit pension, over to a defined contribution pension, also called a personal pension or a SIP sometimes. The purpose of the recordings is to just give you some generic information about some of the pros and cons of both those types of arrangements. The next stage for you wanting to transfer may involve you paying for regulated financial advice. So if this audio recording helps answer some of your queries which you've got and which avoids you unnecessarily paying for that advice, then it will have been some benefit to you. All the recordings that I've had put together into one recording will last less than 25 minutes. So hopefully you'll find them helpful. The starting assumption by our regulator, the Financial Conduct Authority, abbreviated to the FCA, is that for most clients, they are better off retaining their final salary pension and not transferring to a defined contribution type pension. So what is a defined benefit pension? Well, they actually go under several different names. Sometimes you might hear a final salary pension. Sometimes you may hear safeguarded benefits, a career average or care pension. They're all basically defined benefit pensions, which mean that the benefit at retirement is defined from the start, and it's not dependent on a pot of money to buy you an income. And typically, they would be a fraction or percentage of your salary. Hence, they're called final salary pensions. So if you worked for a firm and you were in their pension for 30 years and the accrual rate was a 1/60th, that means you've earned 30/60ths as a fraction of your salary. Now, another way to express that is a half. So if you're on a salary of £30,000 at the point you retire, then you've earned a pension of £15,000 a year for the rest of your life, normally going up with inflation as well. Quite often you may look at your statement of your benefits at date of leaving and get completely confused because there's lots of different tranches. You may see on your statement some of it is GMP, some of it is post 97. Basically what's happened there is that during the period of your membership, the government has changed the rules on certain aspects of how pensions have to grow and be paid out. So GMP just stands for Guaranteed Minimum Pension, and that means that at some point the national insurance contributions you paid to the government for your top-up pension on top of your basic state pension was diverted to your final salary pension. But it came across with certain rules, and that's called GMP rules, which means that, you know, the pension that the scheme provides you has to be at least as good as or better than you would have got off the government. And there's certain escalation rates for each one of the tranches. So, you know, some benefits may be going up by RPI, which is the retail price index, and then they might have brought in LPI, which is limited price indexation, which is, you know, inflation but capped at maybe 5%. And then more recently they may have used something called CPI, which is consumer price indexation, which is a little bit lower. So your pension will be split into several different tranches, all revaluing or escalating at slightly different rates. But again, a pension transfer specialist would let you know clearly what you've got. If you've left your employer and you have an old final salary pension, quite frequently I hear people describe them as frozen, nothing's happening to it. Actually, that's not a very good description of what is happening to the pension. You become a deferred member. So if at the point you left the employer you had £5,000 pension at normal retirement date, that's not frozen at all. That would then keep pace normally with inflation and retain its buying power. So if you're not retiring for another 20 years, for example, that £5,000 a year at date of leave-in may well be revalued to £10,000 or £15,000 at your normal retirement date. So they're certainly not frozen. They should keep pace with inflation. Some of the options with a final salary pension is that prior to your normal retirement date, let's say for example 65, you could elect to retire early. Say for example at 60, so 5 years early. Some people think there is a penalty for doing that. Technically it's not a penalty, there's what's called an actuarial reduction. Because they're going to be paying you earlier and therefore for longer, they reduce the amount initially. And in simple terms, it's typically 4 or 5% each year that you retire early. So assuming a 5% reduction each year and you go 5 years early, 5 fives are 25, so you'd have a 25% reduction in your pension. So if your pension was going to be £10,000 at normal retirement date, then potentially you'd be retiring on £7,500 for the rest of your life going up with inflation. So whilst people think that's a penalty, of course you will have £7,500 a year for 5 years before your £10,000 would have started. You know, and that's £37,500 of pension income between 60 and 65. Then, of course, your pension would have been around about £2,500 less for the rest of your life. But that's then got to be balanced out by the fact that you've had £37,500 up front. So there will be a point where there'll be a break even where you would have been better off by retiring early and you would have been better off by retiring later. And a pension transfer specialist can quite easily give you that information when you take regulated advice. Another option you have at retirement in a final salary pension is to take a tax-free lump sum, which is nowadays called a pension commencement lump sum, or PCLS. But for the ease of communication, let's just call it a tax-free cash. And what you would normally do is you would give up some of your monthly income to get a tax-free lump sum. And they do that by setting what's called commutation rates. So if a typical commutation rate at age 65 was 12 to 1, that means for every £12 of lump sum, you would give up £1 of income. So again, for ease of mathematics, if you wanted to take a 12,000 tax-free cash, it would knock £1,000 a year off your annual pension for the rest of your life. And that's typically, you know, how commutation rates work. One of the great things about a final salary pension is all the risk is borne by your employer or former employer. There's no risk to you whatsoever. What will happen is that a payment will be put into your bank account, normally each month, for the rest of your life. And typically, if you die whilst in receipt of the pension and you are married, your spouse would then get a dependence pension for his or her life too. So you never have to give much thought to this pension. It will just arrive in your bank account every month. You don't need to seek regulated advice about how to invest it or what to do with it, because it will just happen automatically. So you've got a very, very, very safe income for the rest of your life. Now, some people think that what happens if their former employer and the pension goes bust? Well, the government has put in place a very, very, very good safety net called the Pension Protection Fund. And that would step in normally and protect the benefits up to 90%. So if you were getting £10,000 a year pension, then normally you would then get £9,000 a year for the rest of your life. It's a very, very, very good safety net and is not to be brushed aside lightly. So I've told you some of the benefits of a final salary pension, but what are some of the downsides? Well, two areas that people normally mention as being areas they don't like about defined benefit pensions, one being inflexibility and two being poor death benefits. So let's deal with the inflexibility first. The final salary pension in general will pay you a guaranteed amount for the rest of your life, normally going up with some form of inflation. And in the event of your death, it would pay your dependent there afterwards. But of course, if you wanted to retire early, let's say at age 60, and your state pension wasn't started until 66, you might want to take a higher level of income initially, and then drop that income later on when your state pension of, say, £8,500 kicks in. But of course, you can't do that with a final salary pension in general, because it pays out that guaranteed income going up with inflation for the rest of your life. So I guess that could be deemed as being inflexible. The other area that people mention is the death benefits, and people quite frequently say, if I was to die, my pension dies with me. Well, actually, that's not strictly true. Normally, a final salary pension would have a guarantee period, so if you started taking the pension and died within a year, then it would continue to pay either as a lump sum or monthly premium for a guaranteed premium, and that period, and that's normally 5 years. And that's typically, they guarantee a minimum of that. But of course, if you died after 6 years, again, people think that their pension would then die with them. But if you've got a dependent, a husband or a wife, then it will continue to pay a dependent's pension. And typically that would be 50% to your partner for the rest of their natural life. So there are significant death benefits within a final salary pension. But of course, in a defined contribution, you may consider them to be more beneficial for your circumstance. And that's something you'd have to weigh up. So how do they work out the lifetime allowance charge on a defined benefit or final salary pension? Okay, it can seem quite complicated, but I'll try and make it fairly simple in layman's terms. Let's say, for example, you had a £60,000 a year pension. Times that by 20, 1.2 million. Again, for ease of our mathematics, let's just assume the lifetime allowance is a million. So it's easy for us to just discuss round numbers. So your nominal lifetime allowance pot is 1.2 million. You're £200,000 over the lifetime allowance. So if you're going to take that income as a regular income, you have to pay it at 25% charge. So 25% of 200,000 is 50,000. So where does that £50,000 come from? Normally, you can elect to do something called scheme pays. So the scheme administrator would work out the fact that you have a £50,000 lifetime allowance charge. They would then work out what annuity rate they're effectively paying to give you that £60,000 income. And they say, if we paid the £50,000 charge on your behalf, what would that reduce your pension by? And for very ease of figures, if they're working on a 2.5% annuity, then that £50,000 a year would have ordinarily, that £50,000 tax charge would have ordinarily bought you £1,250 of income for the rest of your life. So they would pay the £50,000 charge on your behalf and reduce your pension for the rest of your life by £1,250. So instead of having £60,000 to start with, you'd have £58,750 pension. And then that then would be in payment. And of course, because you're in a great final salary pension, there's a very good chance you're going to have an inflationary pay rise in 1 year's time. And you could well find that you'd be back up above the initial starting pension of over £60,000. So you could say, using scheme pay, what you've effectively lost is 1 year's indexation increase on your pension. So actually, the tax charge might not be as bad as you think. But of course, if you want a personalized answer, you just need to take some regulated advice, and the pension transfer specialist would work out your personal circumstances. So what is a defined contribution pension? Well, actually, basically, it's what most people just know as a normal pension. Sometimes they'll call it a personal pension or a SIP, which just stands for self-invested personal pension. Could be a GPP, which is a group personal pension. All of these are different forms of defined contribution pension. And it's because the contribution into them has been defined, i.e. £100 a month, or a £100,000 lump sum, or a cash equivalent transfer value moved into it of £250,000. So that is what a defined contribution pension is. So if you look at a pension statement, and it has a pot of money, namely £10,000, £100,000, normally a defined contribution. And if the statement says an annual benefit, such as £2,000 a year, then there's a very good chance that is a defined benefit type pension. Death benefits with regard to a defined contribution pension. This is cited by many, many, many clients as one of the reasons they want to move the pension so they can nominate somebody to have their pension pot. Quite often people say, well, look, I'd rather have £500,000 pension pot to leave to my family than £20,000 a year for the rest of my life, for example. So definitely one of the benefits of a defined contribution is that you can now specify who to leave your defined contribution pension to. With a defined benefit, normally it would be your spouse and some financially dependent children. But of course, if you are single or divorced and your children are grown up, potentially the final salary wouldn't pay out to anybody else in the event of your death. Of course, with a defined contribution, you have this pot of money. So yes, you could nominate within reason, anybody you wish, and you would fill in an expression of wish form and say, in the event of my death, I would like the trustees to pay out this £500,000 to my three adult children split equally, or whatever you choose. So there's definitely an advantage to that. But at the same time, if these death benefits are very important to you, you could also consider keeping your final salary pension in place. You've got a guaranteed income, and just using a small amount of that guaranteed income to buy yourself a term policy or a whole of life policy, which would pay out a life cover payment in the event of your death to those dependents. So, to use the old saying, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So I wouldn't just automatically think you have to move the defined benefit to have these death benefits. There's other ways of achieving them if they are very important to you. So, how does the lifetime allowance work on a defined contribution pension? Well, that's quite simple too. For example, if you've got £250,000 in your defined contribution pension pot and you intend to use all of that pension now to provide your retirement needs, and you therefore crystallise all of that £250,000, then that £250,000, having been crystallised, is then set against the current lifetime allowance, which is £1,073,100. And if you were to use a calculator, you would find that you've now utilised 23.29% of the lifetime allowance. So you're well within the 100% and there's no tax charge for you. And in fact, you would have over 76% of the lifetime allowance left for any other pensions you may have, which you've not yet taken. So what would you do if you had £1.5 million in your pension pot? Well, actually, you don't have to crystallize all that £1.5 million. You could just crystallize whatever the lifetime allowance is. And let's, for ease of figure, say you want to crystallize £1 million. You take 25% of that as tax-free cash, so £250,000. And then you'd have £750,000 in a crystallized pot to either buy your annuity or take drawdown. You'd still then have £500,000 in your uncrystallized element. So that isn't tested against the lifetime allowance until you want to start taking benefits from that, or when you hit the age 75 when it's tested automatically. So what if you're actually over the lifetime allowance? You may have read in the paper that there's a lifetime allowance charge of 55%. Well, actually, that could apply, but it's not that common. So I'll give you an example of how it would apply. So for ease of us talking figures now, let's assume the lifetime allowance is £1 million. So it's nice round figures for us. And your pension pot is 1.2 million and you wanted to take that extra 200,000 above the lifetime allowance limit as a lump sum. So it's £200,000. Yes, there would be a 55% tax charge. So 55% of 200,000 would be 110,000, and you would net £90,000 as your lump sum. But there's no further income tax to pay on that. The other way of taking it would be as an income when the tax charge is 25%. Now, the same £200,000, 25% of that, there would be a £50,000 tax charge, and the remaining £150,000 would be paid as income to you. But of course, that would then be subject to your marginal rate, and assuming if you've got a nice big pension like that, there's a very good chance you'd be a higher rate taxpayer, and you'd be paying 40% tax on that income. And if you do the mathematics, it actually works out the overall tax rate will be 55% too. So, yes, there is a tax charge if you're above the lifetime allowance, and hopefully that's explained to you very briefly how it works. So what are some of the benefits of moving your final salary pension across to a defined contribution pot? Well, clearly some of the benefits are flexibility. So you've now have complete flexibility of how much tax-free cash you can take, up to, you know, the 25% limit HMRC impose, when to start paying you an income. So if you wanted to take tax-free cash to achieve some objectives, such as, you know, gifting a deposit for your children to buy their first house or something of that nature, then you don't have to start taking an income. So you could take tax-free cash, some or all of your tax-free cash, and delay taking an income if you wanted to continue work. So you've got flexibility. When you do retire or part retire, you could take a small income initially if you've gone part time. And if you wanted to retire full time and spend time enjoying yourself, you could take a bigger income because you're spending more money. And then, of course, when your state pension kicks in at later, maybe at 66 or 67, you could then drop your income because you've got this guaranteed income coming in. So there's a great deal of flexibility. But of course, what comes with flexibility is risk and responsibility. So you've now got to take the responsibility for investing the money, either yourself or through assistance from a professional advisor. And of course, now you're at risk of the ups and downs of the market. You're also at risk of inflation and of charges. The charges could be from the pension provider, the fund managers, and of course your regulated advice charges as well. So you now have to deal with all of these things. So with flexibility comes risk. Another risk of being in the defined contribution is that, of course, you could enjoy yourself too much and spend too much and completely erode your pension during your lifetime. So you've had a great life, you're up to 75 years of age, you've enjoyed your money fantastically well, but you've now run out. Of course, with the defined benefit, you would have a guaranteed income for the rest of your life and a dependent pension there afterwards if appropriate. But you do run the risk of potentially running out of pension pot. So in summary, hopefully I haven't confused you too much, and what I've done is given you a flavour of what a final salary pension is and what a defined contribution pension is. The next stage for you, I guess, is to decide what you want to do for the future. If after listening to this audio recording, you've thought, actually, that's made it clear, I don't think I need to move my pension now because I didn't understand how beneficial it was before, but now I do. And if that's the case, then fantastic. We've had some real benefit to you of listening to this recording. If you decide that actually you still think that moving the pension may be appropriate for you, then what you need to do now is take some regulated professional financial advice. Therefore, you need to find yourself a pension transfer specialist. And the best way of doing that is to get a personal recommendation from somebody you know, you trust, and they've already had pension transfer advice from a specialist. If you're not fortunate to have a personal recommendation, then you'll need to do your own due diligence to find a regulated pension transfer specialist. And a good starting point for that are some online directories, such as advisorbook.co.uk, unbiased.co.uk or vouchedfor.co.uk. So they're a good starting point to identify some advisors. You could do further due diligence
by visiting the FCA's register, where you should be able to see the company that they work for to make sure that that company holds pension transfer permissions. There's further due diligence again, such as looking at websites, reading testimonials, and other forms of due diligence that you feel is appropriate. But I would urge you to speak to people that you know who've already gone through this to see if you can get that ideal personal recommendation. Anyway, I hope I've helped you, and good luck with the future, and I wish you a very enjoyable and happy retirement.